We are the Forsaken. Forsaken.
You're listening to a Corpse Run Radio minicast. Hello, darlings, and welcome to Corpse Run Radio. I am your host, Juno, and this is Minicast 24.1. Since this is a mini, there won't be a ton of chatter from me, but I did want to say Happy New Year. And I wanted to mention also, in case you hadn't heard yet, that in Tanan Jungle, the Arakoa quest giver, Dawnseeker Krizik, will now sell you Crystallized Fell, which is an upgrade for your legendary ring. It'll cost you 1,250 valor, and Zarheim has advised this hotfix was added on January 4th, and that Zooty Fizzle Fury in Talador also sells it. So yay, ring upgrade! Kicking off this episode, we have Kesha, with a song called Karazhan, written by the wonderful Rowan of Moonguard. Then, Hirumara Dex with Who is Yashiraz? Following him, we have Asmongold with thoughts and feedback on the Legion PvP changes. Then the lovely Tamalala with a song called Come On Tank, Tell Me. And following her, Census with a guide on how to get extra gold from PvP. Then the illustrious Noble 87 with the Story of the Lich King Part 1. And finally, Ember Isolde will take us out with Rolling Out the Deeps. Have a great week, darlings.
Kara, 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 K Yashiraj is the old god who died in the war between the Titans and the Eld Gods, and with his dying breath, he created the Shah and cursed Pandaria. It was because of the death of Yashiraj that the Titans found out that killing the old gods would mean the destruction of the planet, so they chose to imprison the other old gods because of it. Yashiraj is most likely based on Shub-Niggurath, an outer god from the works of H.P. Lovecraft, just like all the other old gods. Shub-Niggurath is described as the black goat in the woods with 1,000 young. Although, technically without gender, this outer god is often labeled as female and takes on a maternal role, giving birth to many offspring called the Dark Young of Shub-Niggurath. The Dark Young are described as horrifying, pitch-black monstrosities, seemingly made of ropey tentacles. They stand as tall as trees on a pair of stumpy, hoofed legs. A mass of tentacles protrudes from their trunks where a head would normally be, with puckered maws and dripping goo. Very similar to what the Shahs look like in-game. The in-game item, the puzzle box of Yog-Saron, describes Yashiraj as such. Have you had the dream again? A black goat with the 7 eyes that watches from the outside. Also, the Mantid, who worship Yashiraj, specifically state that they worship the 7 heads of Yashiraj.
We Mantid are an elder race. The Pandaren you associate with, they are but children. They have their role to play. Each cycle, our young swarm their walls. The Pandaren slay the weak. The strong return. With each generation, we grow ever stronger. Before your history began, our empire was vast. We shared this world with our sister kingdoms, Angiraj and Ajol Nerub. Our gods were many and powerful. We Mantid worshipped the 7 heads of Yashiraj. Great was the Old One, and terrible was his wrath. He consumed hope and begat despair. He inhaled courage and breathed fear. When the usurpers came, the ones you call Titans, Yashiraj was destroyed. His last terrible breath has haunted this land ever since, but the shadows he left behind are mere whispers of his former glory. Your gods are not your gods, outsider. I tell you now because you have earned this warning. If the Old Ones ever return, we Mantid will once again stand by their side. The wisest among you will do the same.
The 7 Shah Primes that we fight in Pandaria are the remains of Yashiraj, proving that even in death an old god is hella powerful, since the Shah Primes are just fragments of his former self. In Mis, Garrosh's men found the heart of Yashiraj in the Vale of Eternal Blossoms. Garrosh then took it to the Pools of Pandaria and restored the heart, destroying half the Vale in the process. After the heart was restored, it started whispering to the Mantid and they followed Garrosh to Orgrimmar to serve their master once more. During the final fight in the Siege of Orgrimmar, Garrosh absorbed the heart and was able to control the Ogod's power without being fully corrupted by it, which is actually quite a big deal, I might add. Just drops of Yashiraj's blood were enough to make entire villages go mad. After Garrosh's defeat in Orgrimmar, the Heart suffered a failure and faded from existence. With the Heart gone, and the 7 Prime Shahs dead, nothing remains of Yashiraj, which makes him the first fully dead old god in-game. Unless Blizzard decides to retcon something and bring him back, of course.
What's up, y'all? It's me, it's your boy, Asmongold, and today I figured I'd give you guys my feedback on some of the new PvP changes that are being planned for Legion. Now, I'm getting all this information off of a Battle.net post that was made on the 16th. I would have done a video on it whenever it was posted, but due to some unforeseen circumstances, it's taken me a little bit longer. Anyway, if you guys do want to just check out the post yourself, you don't want to go through the whole video, there's going to be a link in the description so you guys can do just that. Before I really get into the specifics, though, I do want to kind of explain what I think is Blizzard's overarching philosophy with a lot of these changes. I think that Blizzard, like, it's no real secret, and all of the statistics and, like, analytics that I've seen have shown PvP participation to be at an all-time low, and so Blizzard has been trying to, I guess, get more players into PvP and trying to tap into that MOBA, that FPS market that's very, very profitable. If you go and you watch Twitch right now, you're going to see, you know, League of Legends and other MOBAs and FPS games at the top, and maybe, like, a couple of, like, other games that are just, like, really popular at the time, but the staying power, really, with those games that are at the top that have, like, a huge viewership and a, you know, huge, I guess, like, population of people playing them are usually MOBAs and FPSs. So Blizzard has been making a lot of efforts, I see, to kind of make WoW PvP more like a MOBA, more like a League of Legends and stuff like that. Now, I kind of think that this could be good, it could be bad, but really what it comes down to is that if I wanted to play League of Legends, I'd play League of Legends. If I wanted to play CSGO, I'd play CSGO. The reason people play WoW, I think, is because it does kind of give people more of a gear progression, and you know, people can like go into PvP and like really kick with new gear, or you know, like maybe not as much, and then they can work their way up. That's always kind of how I felt about it, and one of the things that I've liked about the game, and it was more rewarding whenever we were able to do that. In Legion, they're trying to lessen that gap between the lower level geared players and the higher level geared players. Now, one of the big things that they're changing here is they're making that, like, you're not going to get honor points or conquest points anymore. You have like an honor level, okay? And so, like, imagine like League of Legends. You ever played like a like Heroes of the Storm or something, where like you play the game and throughout the game you rank up and you get up to like level 30. This is basically the way the honor system is working. And every like 10 levels or 20 levels or 15 or whatever, you get an extra talent point, and it functions exactly the same way as your leveling talents function right now. Like level 15 or level 10 or whatever, you get first talent. Level, I don't know, 20, you get your next, or 30, you get next one, 45, then 60, 75, 90, and then I think 100. And so it's going to be functioning basically that same way. Now, one thing that I do like about this is it does allow them to kind of make changes in PvP that don't necessarily affect PvE, because these talents and abilities are kind of like secondary abilities that you don't necessarily, it's not like you're getting with these PvP talents, you're not necessarily getting new abilities, you're kind of getting new functionality for existing abilities. Now, one thing that I really do like about this is obviously it allows them to tweak PvP and balance PvP more easily, which is another thing that I think that they're obviously trying to do here, is kind of like separate PvP and PvE, so they're able to balance PvP without affecting PvE, which is of course something that people have wanted for a very long time. The one thing that I don't like about the honor system, the new honor system that they're planning, is for one, I don't think it's going to be really quite as rewarding as gearing up, just because it's not visible. And, you know, like people might not really necessarily understand this in the same way that they understand getting a new helmet or a new sword. Also, one thing I don't like about it is because it's like I'll look at like the warrior, you know, the honor talents for warriors, and I'll see abilities there that I used to have that were baseline for my character, and now they've been transferred over to being PvP only abilities. And while I understand why that's true, I think mass spell reflection is one of them for warriors, and I understand, like, you know, like on like heroic Lee Sin, you were able to use mass spell reflection to avoid having to do diffused lightning, and so there are all these like little things that mass spell reflection was very useful for in PvE that Blizzard didn't necessarily account for. And so obviously they don't necessarily have to worry about people bringing in like two warriors or something for Lee Sin, and like kind of like unintended consequences of talents and all that stuff in raids. Now, obviously people can say, well, you should have coded the game better or something else like that, but I think it's a little bit more complicated. Obviously, you know, I think that this is probably going to be a good change. Now, once you reach level 50, now this is one thing that I feel very positively about, is once you reach level 50 on your PvP honor level, now, there's no real information about how long this is going to take. I assume it will probably take you about a week or two, and once you reach level 50, you're able to prestige up. It's basically the same as, like, I think Call of Duty does this, and a lot of other games basically give you a prestige level. Once you get up to level 50, you can click the prestige button, and then you go back down to zero, but you get you can get a new mount, a new pet, a new title, you get like I think it's like a badge next to your portrait, and so all kinds of like little cool things like that for people. Personally, you know, again, like these are very cosmetic changes, and I think for a lot of people, one concern that I do have, this isn't necessarily a problem with the prestige, but what I'm seeing with a lot of this stuff is it's all really cosmetic. It doesn't necessarily affect your character, and I think that for a lot of people, unless they're actually getting something that makes them do more damage, that makes them, you know, live longer or something like that, a new trinket or something like that, the rewards aren't necessarily as compelling. And so I think that the prestige is a very good idea, especially like what they're trying to sell it as is something for people who don't necessarily like go, like, let's be real, people who basically suck at PvP, or they're not really serious about getting rating, and they don't really, there's no real progression for them. Like, right, so they're never really going to try and get to like 2K or 2.2 or Gladiator or anything like that. But you can, like, Blizzard can kind of keep them on the hamster wheel by giving them these prestige rankings and keep them PvPing and prestiging up. And so I think this could potentially be a very good idea, depending on how the tiered systems work and how long it takes. The only thing that I don't like about the prestige system, really, is that whenever you go back down to zero, you lose all of your PvP talents and you have to reacquire all of them. It seems kind of punishing to punish people for PvPing a lot and taking advantage of something within the PvP. Now, another really big thing that they're doing is they're changing completely the way that you get gear in PvP. Now, I think this is probably it's a big point of contention with me, because I think that actually being able to get gear and have gear influence your character and make your character more powerful in PvP has always been a very rewarding part of the game. Whenever I would get like a new sword or something like that from a raid, I didn't take it into like LFR or like the equivalent of that, or like max 10 or something like that. I took it into a battleground and I killed people in like 3 hits. It was always really fun. But with this new system, gear isn't going to play as much of an effect. Now, right now, they use the comparison where you have 25 item levels over somebody else, you're 25% more powerful. But in Legion, if you have 25 item levels over somebody, you're only 2.5 times as powerful. And so that's a huge drop. That's only 10% of the difference that it made. Now, also, they're trying to make it to where players, like now, whenever you queue into PvP, you have a set stat template. And so, again, this is very similar to the way they have like MOBAs, where they already, like, if you play Heroes of Storm, like you have like Zeratul or like Nova or like a Nubarak, they automatically know like exactly how much health the Nubarak is going to start off with and how much damage he's going to do, like Zeratul, like the cooldown on all of his abilities, how much damage everything is going to do. And so if they want to nerf something specifically, it becomes much more easy for them. In PvP, especially with WoW, it also is very, this is going to allow them, in my opinion, to really balance PvP without affecting PvE as much. Because, like, let's say, like, Frost Mages, I think in 5.2, had a very, very strong mastery. It just straight up increased frost damage. And so it was very, very strong. And so they ended up, I think, nerfing Frost Mastery, and that hurt PvE mages. But now they can just lower the mastery in PvE, or sorry, in PvP, and it won't necessarily affect PvP at all, or PvE at all. And it's just, like, all that kind of stuff, in my opinion, is a very good idea. I'm just very worried about that really ending up not necessarily being as compelling and rewarding for players. Now, you're able to still get PvP gear, and I think this is probably the biggest problem that I have, is that the PvP gear that you get is going to be basically acquired solely through the Strongbox system. That means that you're not going to be able to buy PvP gear. So my understanding, like, I don't know if you open up a strong box and it gives you like a token and you turn that token in for PvP gear. I highly doubt that's going to be what it's going to be. But maybe it is. Either way, the reason I don't really like this is, again, it takes agency and control away from the players, and it basically makes the gearing process an RNG slot machine. I don't really have fun playing slot machines. I don't really know about you guys, but it's never really been fun. And I think that, recently in WoW, there's just been so many more RNG elements added into the game. It's, in my opinion, kind of sapped the fun away and eroded the sense of reward that you get from getting something whenever there's no real, you have no real control of getting it. So, like, if you get an amazing item, you know, it was luck. And if you get a shitty item, it was luck, right? And so the reward necessarily isn't there, and the punishment isn't there either, but it just, I don't really think it gives players the same sense of, I don't really know what the word for this is, like investment, and they don't really feel good about it. I think that's really what it comes down to, is I don't think that people really feel good about getting items from strong boxes. And you can look at like what happened in the patch 6.2 PTR, where Ashran, there were a lot of offset PvP pieces that could only be acquired through Ashran and also through random battlegrounds, getting the boxes from those two. And easily over 90% of the people who were on the PvP forums and were talking about this were very, very much against this, and it took an overwhelming amount of people who were very upset about it to make Blizzard revert the decision, or at least make those pieces available to buy for Honor. Now, I really do like the Strongbox system in a lot of ways, but I don't like it as being the only way of gearing up. I think that what we have right now is probably the best system, where you can get some Strongbox items, but everything you don't get through a Strongbox, you're able to buy with PvP Honor. Now, I think that that would be, in my opinion, a good compromise and what I would really like to see, but I think that Blizzard is trying to make it to where players just have like this endless grind in PvP, and I don't really think that people are going to have fun with that. Also, you're able to get PvP gear, but the PvP gear is going to be identical to the PvE gear, and so it's not going to be like PvP power. It's not going to scale up in PvP. It's not going to do anything weird like that. It's going to be basically just like in vanilla, whenever you get like the Field Marshal gear, and it was the exact same as basically the AQ-40 gear or a BWL gear, but it just had different stats. And I really think that this could also be bad as well, because there are really two ways that this can turn out. Either the best gear in the game that you can get for PvP is going to be Mythic Raid gear, because obviously I think that it would be kind of ridiculous, really, for Mythic Raid gear to be the same as, RNG Strongbox PvP gear. I really would be surprised if they did something like that, but I also would not be, I wouldn't rule it out either. And so that's one scenario here, is that either the PvP gear, the best gear in the game for PvP, you have to get through raiding, because again, it's not that the gear doesn't matter. The gear still matters. It's just it doesn't matter as much. And I think that if they're going to make gear matter, make gear matter. And if they're going to make gear not matter, make it not matter at all. I don't really like this gray area where, well, gear doesn't matter in PvP, but wait, no, then gear does give you an increase in damage, but not as big of an increase. But okay, so then still, gear does matter in PvP, because if you have like 50 or 75 item levels over somebody, that's still 5 or 7.5% more damage. And at a very high competitive level, it does kind of matter. And even at a very high level, and again, I don't think it's really going to make people feel good to know that they can never really get the best gear for PvP through PvP. And you could make the argument that because Mythic raiding is a lot harder than PvP, that you should be able to get better gear for PvP in raiding, but really there are people who think that that PvP is harder than raiding, and it would be kind of to have to actually do PvP in order to get raid gear, which is comes to the second thing that could happen, where Mythic raid gear is the equivalent of the Mythic or like highest level PvP gear, where at that point, like, then you're kind of getting raiders into PvP that they don't necessarily want to do, and then they're getting these RNG strong boxes. And I think that really, coordinating a raid and having to log on at a certain time for a schedule, because, like, that's pretty much what all Mythic guilds have. If you get into, like, a Mythic guild that's more than, like, probably, like, five bosses into Mythic, Hellfire Citadel, you're probably going to have to log on at a certain time and log off at a certain time on certain days of the week just to get everybody together to make sure you have the group that you need to progress. And so if you compare that, having to do all this stuff and all this logistical work and, all the interpersonal stuff that goes along with the guild as well, and compare that just to going and doing PvP, even at like 2 or 2.2k, PvP is going to be a lot more accessible, and it's going to make raiding not necessarily worthwhile. And really, I think that they have to make a decision and either go all in or not at all. It seems like they're trying to do like this gray area thing, and I don't really think that it's going to work out very well. And that's really kind of what concerns me, is that a lot of these things seem like they're kind of trying to make everybody happy. And what I'd really like to see with, like, in terms of the gear, I think that in random battlegrounds and stuff like that, I don't really think gear, they should scale down gear, they shouldn't scale it up, it should just be you can go in there and do whatever you want. But in rated battlegrounds and in rated arena and everything like that, they should make everybody basically have the same exact toolkit. And, if they actually want to make it competitive and everything like that, put everybody on the exact same level. Don't kind of give them this, oh, well, he has a 5% increase and, he's using something else that you don't have, and all this stuff. I think it should either be all or nothing, and this gray area thing I think is going to leave everybody kind of disappointed. Now, obviously, I think that a lot of this stuff is, I'm not really sure how to really put it. A lot of it's very exciting for PvPers, and I've been very excited by it, but some of these things have also been very disappointing. Now, there are some other really good ideas that they're doing. One of the things that they're also going to be doing in Legion is they're going to make PvP seasons, so like the Prideful season or Warmongering season or whatever, they're going to be making the PvP seasons shorter, and I think that's a good thing just to kind of create like more of a sense of urgency with playing in the PvP seasons, get those rewards out quicker. I think Finn Rookie did a video, it was like a state of PvP, and I remember I watched the thing, I thought it was really, really good, because I mean, like, I'm a PvPer sometimes, but I mainly raid. I do Battlegrounds fairly regularly, and I usually try and get, like, 2k each season at least, just to get the transmog gear. But I don't necessarily take PvP as seriously as somebody who's, like, a rank 1 gladiator like he is. And so, kind of like watching his video and seeing somebody's perspective who's very much into the PvP community, one of the things that he said is, well, it's very enlightening to see that, and one of the things that he said is that they need more real-time and more, I guess, like, quicker rewards. Because, like, right now, you have to wait, like, maybe 4 or 6 months for a PvP season to end, and whenever it ends, finally, you get a reward. But in between that period, besides getting the gear and getting the transmog gear and everything, there's not really a lot of rewards that the game gives you. And so if there was more real-time rewards for PvP, I think that would be a good thing. And making the season shorter kind of, in a way, accomplishes that goal. Hopefully, they do more things as well, though. Another thing that they're doing is to kind of combat the faction imbalance, because, like, you remember, because the racials were for Alliance were a lot better than Horde, a lot of the top PvPers moved over to Alliance, and so it was very difficult for Horde players to get into Glad range. They're making each faction have its own gladiator ladder, and so that means you have to, instead of it being just like everybody, it's like all of the Alliance gladiators and all of the Horde gladiators. And so that means that, you know, it doesn't matter what faction you're playing on, you're basically still, if you're in the top 5%, 0.5% of your faction, you're going to be able to get gladiator, not necessarily the top 5% of the region. And so I think this is a good idea. I don't really know how it's going to turn out. I don't know how is it going to really work with people who are like playing like Alliance versus Horde. I don't really know how it's going to work entirely. I'm kind of skeptical about it, but I think the basic idea of it's pretty good. Anyway, I did kind of like really want to do this video with you guys and talk to you about it, because in my opinion, I think that PvP has been, it's like every expansion, Blizzard really tries to reinvent the wheel with PvP. They try to, you know, change up how you get gear, change up the reward system and everything like that to get more people into PvP. And every single time they do it, it seems like they alienate more and more people from the PvP. And I just want to say one thing, they're also adding a new arena. It's like the Temple of the Bird or something like that. I don't really know. But they are adding a new arena. People were worried about that not happening. Apparently it's going to happen. The thing with, like, kind of every expansion, like, you know, in Vanilla, you had to go from rank 1 to rank 14 to get gear. In Burning Crusade, all you have to do is do 10 games, and your arena rating gave you a certain amount of arena points, and you were able to buy the points. In my opinion, I thought that made perfect sense. One of the things that I don't like about the PvP catch-up mechanic that they have right now is it takes you so long in order to get geared up if you're starting from a long time in the season. Like, going 180 points all the way up to, like, 2,000 or something, and, you know, like, let's say you don't win every other game, like, it's going to be a really, really big grind, and I think it's just daunting for anybody to really catch up. So I think that, like, the gearing process should be kind of shortened in a way, but there should be some sort of, like, ultimate or elite gear that you can get that does give you an advantage in PvP that maybe very good players are able to get, but doesn't necessarily affect high-level rated PvP. I'm not really sure what the solution to that is, but I think that they really should try and make sure that people feel like they're actually gaining a power bonus, because I don't think the invisible prestige and vanity bonuses are as rewarding as just straight power increase for most players. So one thing that I do want to say is that Blizzard said that they like the strongbox system, okay? Now, from what I've seen, they're the only ones that like the strongbox system. So if you can let me know if you like the strongbox system or not, I'm curious to know if a lot of people would like to see a PvP reward system that's only strongboxes. Personally, I think it would be a disaster, but I'm willing to at least listen to people who have different opinions. I don't know, like, personally, like, I know, reason I'm making this video, really, is because it is alpha for Legion right now, and so, if there's any point in time where they're going to change anything, it's going to be right now, and I know that they usually listen to feedback. They might not, necessarily apply it, but they're probably listening. So I want to at least, like, put my opinion out there and say that I really like a lot of the changes, but I think that some of the changes are going to end up making PvP less rewarding and make people feel like they're not necessarily moving forward. Warcraft has always been a game that's based on progression, and whenever you remove that progression in the sake of accessibility and convenience, I think that it kind of takes a lot of the investment from players out of the game, and people don't necessarily get as much out of it. If people wanted to play an MMO, or sorry, a MOBA or a shooter, they'd play League of Legends or Counter-Strike. The reason people play World of Warcraft, one of the main reasons I think a lot of people like to do PvP, or at least a lot of people that I know, is to actually get better gear than people and go in there and kick ass. And, you know, whenever you kind of remove that sense of, okay, now I'm, you know, an amazing player, you know, now I have the weapon, now I have the shoulders for Season 3 or something like that, I think that it really kind of loses something. And hopefully they're able to still give people that feeling of you know, like feeling awesome, but while at the same time giving people the chance to actually get into PvP who are new players and still be able to hold their own. So we'll see what happens, but I'm more cautious about it than I was after reading this stuff, but I'm also pretty excited about it too, and I just really hope that they're able to implement it in the right way. But let me know what you guys think. I'm very curious to hear, especially if you are PvPers. But besides that, thank you for watching, and like, comment, and subscribe.
Come on, take, tell me, are you gonna pull down or wait forever? Oh, oh, oh. Hey, how's it going, guys? Census here. And today I'm going to be showing you how to make a little bit of extra gold from PvP. Now, I made a video like this at the beginning of WoD on my old channel, but since we switched channels, I thought I'd go ahead and remake the entire video. So, pretty much everybody knows by now that you can make gold from doing skirmishes and BGs from opening strong boxes, but this trick actually dates back to before WoD, and it pretty much involves just using your honor to make over 600 gold every time you honor cap. Now, typically, honor is going to be useless to you after you get your full honor set, so a lot of people just sit honor caps 24/7 for pretty much the entire season, and really you could be putting that honor to good use if you, you know, do consistent BGs and skirmishes. So all you have to do is head on over to the Champion's Hall or the Hall of Legends, trade the Legacy Weapon Quartermaster, and buy as many Brutal Gladiator Mutilators as possible, which will be 38 when you're honor capped. Now, I actually have a macro that you can use that I'll include down in the description that lets you buy the daggers a lot quicker. So all you have to do is copy the macro, put it in your macro book, and put it on your bars whenever you're buying these daggers, and just spam the macro and it'll buy the daggers for you. This will save you from buying the daggers one by one and having to deal with the prompt window that shows up every single time you buy a dagger. So once you spend all your honor, all you have to do is wait 2 hours and then resell them to any vendor, and you should make around 611 gold every time you do this. Overall, it's not much, but it's way better than just sitting honor cap 24/7. So anyway, if you didn't know about this trick, I hope this video helped you out. And of course, as always, thanks for watching, guys. I'll see you next time.
Hello everyone! Last week, we talked about the events of Warcraft 3, in which Arthas was turned to the dark side, and together with Kel'Thuzad, he summoned Archimonde into the world of Azeroth. It seems like all Arthas has done, all he had given up would be for nothing, yet the Lich King isn't done quite yet. He has no intention of forever staying loyal to Kil'jaeden and the Burning Legion, and plans are set in motion to sabotage the Legion and break out of his prison. Let's begin, shall we? The first step in the plan against the Burning Legion is to give the world the power and momentum they needed to stop Archimonde. For this, Arthas is told to go find Illidan and inform him about the Skull of Gul'dan.
We could go on fighting like this forever. What is it you truly want?
The Dreadlord who commands this undead army is called Tychondrius. He controls a powerful warlock artifact called the Skull of Gul'dan. It is responsible for corrupting these forests.
And you wish for me to steal it?
Why? Let's just say that I have no love for Tychondrius, and the lord I serve would benefit from the Legion's downfall.
Why should I believe anything you say, little human?
My master sees all, Demon Hunter. He knows that you've sought power your whole life. Now it lies within your grasp. Seize it, and your enemies will be undone.
Remember that Gul'dan was Ner'zhul's apprentice. He even used the skull himself, and the power locked inside, it gave Illidan the boost he needed to take out the Dreadlord Tychondrius and stop the corruption of their forests. The next step was the world uniting against the Legion, so under Medivh's guidance, the Night Elves, Jaina and the survivors of Lordaeron, Thrall and his newly formed horde, they teamed up, they placed a trap for Archimonde, and they blew up the World Tree, sending him back to the Twisted Nether. Months later, Arthas returned home with some bad news for the Dreadlords.
It's been months since we last heard from Lord Archimonde. I grow tired of watching over these rotting undead. What are we still doing here?
We were charged with overseeing this land, Dethorok. It is our duty to remain here and ensure that the Scourge is ready for action. True, though we should have received some kind of orders by now.
The Legion was defeated months ago. How could they not know?
Impossible to say, but the longer they remain in command, the more they run the Scourge into the ground.
What? Who could possibly...
Greetings, Dreadlords. I should thank you for looking after my kingdom during my absence. However, I won't be requiring your services any longer.
Prince Arthas, this land is ours. The Scourge belongs to the Legion.
Not anymore, demon. Your masters have been defeated. The Legion is undone. Your deaths will complete the circle.
Never! This isn't over, human.
It seemed like things were going very well, yet not everything went according to plan. Pointing Illidan towards the Skull of Gul'dan, it turned him into a great puppet to be used against the Legion, but Kil'jaeden found the Demon Hunter, and he promised him anything his heart desired if he would be able to destroy his treacherous creation. Illidan did his very best to destroy the Lich King and the Frozen Throne from a distance, yet he failed, which caused him to try and hide from Kil'jaeden's wrath in Outland. Escaping someone like Kil'jaeden is not an easy task. He showed up and he was about to punish Illidan, but the allies he had made, Lady Vashinarnaga, Kilfus Sunstrider, and the now Blood Elves, formerly known as High Elves, they showed great promise, so he gave Illidan another chance. In the meantime, tossing out Frostmourne and possibly the damage done by Illidan's spell, it weakened the Lich King and his power was fading. Arthas was ordered to return to Northrend immediately, but his powers had weakened as well to such a degree that the Banshee Sylvanas Windrunner, she was able to liberate herself from his control, she reclaimed her body, and together with the Dreadlords, they planned a bloody coup.
With my powers drained, I can barely command my own warriors. The Lich King warned me that if I didn't reach Northrend soon, all could be lost.
Fear not, my king. Everything has been prepared for your departure. The ships are waiting at the coast, and there's been a change of plans, King Arthas. You're not going anywhere. Assassins! It's a trap!
In his moment of weakness, the Dreadlords took control of the forces that just moments ago were still loyal to the Death Knights.
There are too many of them, my king. Flee! Escape from the city! I'll find my own way out and meet you in the wilderness.
In the wilderness, abominations lumbered towards Arthas, but Sylvanas or Banshees, they quickly came to the rescue.
You have my thanks, ladies, but where is your mistress? Where is Sylvanas?
She sent us to find you, great king. We've come to escort you across the river. Once we cross it, we'll take refuge in the wilderness. This is the place, sisters. We'll rest here, great king.
Why here? We've got to find Kel'Thuzad before we...
You have been deceived. Come to my side at once. Obey.
What is happening here? Sylvanas.
You walked right into this one, Arthas. It's time to even the scales.
Traitor! What have you done to me?
It's a special poisoned arrow I made just for you. The paralysis you're experiencing now is but a fraction of the agony you've caused me.
Finish me, then.
A quick death? Like the one you gave me? No. You're going to suffer as I did. Thanks to my arrow, you can't even run. Give my regards to hell, you son of a bitch.
Back, you mindless ones! You shall not fall today, my king.
This isn't over, Arthas. I'll never stop hunting you.
Kel'Thuzad saved Arthas' life, and as the Death Knight set sail to Northrend, Kel'Thuzad was left behind to watch over the lands. Sylvanas teamed up with the Dreadlord Varimafras, and together they were able to get the capital city, and they worked on their plans of getting revenge. A city was of little concern to Arthas right now, since Illidan, Kil'Thuzad, and Lady Vash, they were getting closer and closer to the Frozen Throne and the Lich King. To help Arthas get there in time, a new barak was sent by the Lich King to guide him down into the ancient kingdom of Azul-Narub. The labyrinth was treacherous, but together they made it through just in time.
We've made it, Anubarak. Our forces are already assembled and waiting.
Greetings, King Arthas. You've arrived just in time. Illidan's Naga and Blood Elf forces have taken up positions at the base of the glacier and...
Arthas, my champion, you have come at last. Now, we face a grave danger. My creator, the Demon Lord Kil'jaeden, sent his agents here to destroy me.
If they should reach the Frozen Throne before you, all will be lost. The Scourge will be undone. Now hurry. I will grant you all the power I can spare.
I saw another vision of the Lich King. He has restored my powers. I know now what I must do. It's time to end the game. Once and for all.
On the battlefield, Arthas met with Kilfa Sunstrider, who had a burning desire for vengeance. Arthas had taken the woman he loved, had murdered his father, destroyed his kingdom. The prince had reforged his father's broken blade, fellow Malorn, and he did his very best to end the Death Knight's life. In their battle, Kilfas and Arthas, they shot spells at each other, while Arthas tried to taunt the mage and break his concentration. I took your woman, he said, continued to try to anger the mage, although he knew, and probably Kil knew, that Jaina had never belonged to the elf. I held her in my arms at night. She tasted sweet when I kissed her, Kil. She
loathes you now. You sicken and disgust her, Arthas. Anything she felt for you has since turned to hatred.
Arthas tried to break and anger Kil, but instead it backfired and it made him wonder about the past, about how Jaina regarded him. This hesitation was all Kilfas needed as he shot fireball after fireball until he finally drew his blade and he lunged in, thinking to deal the death blow. But Arthas remembered training with Muradin so long ago, and the dwarf's favorite trick suddenly filled his mind. He pulled his legs in tightly, he kicked Kilfas with all his strength, he then gained the upper hand, was about to strike Kilfas down, but the mage was
"She hates you now,"
before teleporting away. The Blood Elf Prince was gone, and he thought that he bought Illidan enough time. Yet Arthas, despite feeling the aftermath of their fight, he pushed on, and he had to stop Illidan.
"The Frozen Throne is mine, demon. Step aside. Leave this world and never return. If you do, I'll be waiting."
"I have sworn to destroy it, Arthas. It must be done."
"Never."
In their battle, Illidan bragged about how his twin Blades of Azanoth had been with him for over 10,000 years. "How long have you fought with your pretty blade, human? How well do you know it?" The words were intended to unsettle the Death Knight, but instead they invigorated him. Illidan might have had this admittedly powerful weapon for longer, but Frostmourne was bound to Arthas, and he to it. It was not a sword as much as an extension of himself. He had known it when he first had the vision of it, when he had just arrived in Northrend. He had been certain of the connection when he laid his eyes upon it, waiting for him, and now he felt it surge in his hand, confirming their unity. The demon and the Death Knight, they clashed with each other, and Illidan came very close, but nothing would stand in Arthas' way. Frostmourne pierced the flesh, struck deep, and Illidan fell down into the snow. Arthas thought about ending Illidan right there, but he decided against it, and he decided to let the merciless cold of the place do it for him, as he finished his journey started so long ago. He finally entered and reached the top of Ice Crown.
Prison.
as Frostmourne had been for him, so was the armor. Gauntlet fingers closed over the spiked helm, and he lifted slowly, reverently, and then, closing his eyes, he lowered it onto his white head. He was suddenly galvanized, his body tensing as he felt the essence of the Lich King enter him. It pierced his heart, stopped his breath, shivered along his veins, icy, powerful, crashing through him like a tidal wave. His eyes were closed, but he saw so much, all that Ner'zhul, the orc shaman, had known, all that he had seen, all that he had done. For a moment, Arthas feared he would be overwhelmed by it all, that in the end, the Lich King had tricked him into coming here, so that he could place his essence into a fresh new body. He braced himself for a battle for control, with his body as a prize, but there was no struggle, only a blending. A melding. All around him, the cavern continued to collapse. Arthas was only barely aware of it. His eyes darted rapidly back and forth beneath his closed lids. His lips moved. He spoke. They spoke.
Now, we are one.
This story, as you read the novel Arthas, Rise of the Lich King, you find out that after this moment, Arthas spent his time contemplating the choices he had made, the road that led him to merge with the Lich King. He sees himself in a great hall together with the orc Ner'zhul, and a young sick child resembling that small part of him that was still good, that still whispered in the back of his mind that the path he was on was wrong, that he could still turn back. A choice had to be made. Slowly, the Death Knight turned his white head to the boy. The ill child met him with a gaze that was astonishingly clear, and for a moment Arthas felt something inside him stir. Despite everything, the boy would not die, and that meant... The boy smiled a little, and some of the sickness dissipated as Arthas struggled for words. You are me. You are both me, but you... His voice was soft, tinged with wonder and disbelief. You are the little flame that burns inside me still, that resists the ice. You are the last vestiges of humanity, of compassion, of my ability to love, to grieve, to care. You are my love for Jaina, my love for my father, for all the things that made me what I once was. Somehow, Frostmourne didn't take it all. I tried to turn away from you, and I couldn't. I can't. The boy's sea-green eyes brightened, and he gave his other self a tremulous smile. His color improved, and before Arthas' eyes, some of the pustules on the skin disappeared. You understand now. Despite all, Arthas, you have not abandoned me. Tears of hope stood in those eyes, and his voice, though stronger now than it has been, quivered with emotion. There must be a reason. Arthas, much harm have you done, but there is goodness in you yet. If there was none, I would not exist, not even in your dreams. He slipped off the chair and slowly walked toward the Death Knight. Arthas stood as he approached. For a moment, they regarded each other, the child and the man he had become. The boy extended his arms as if he were a living, breathing child asking to be picked up and held by a loving father. It doesn't have to be too late, he said quietly. No, Arthas said quietly, staring rapidly at the boy. It doesn't. He touched the curve of the boy's cheek, slipped a hand beneath the small chin, and tilted up the shining face. He smiled into his own eyes. But it is. Frostmourne descended. The boy cried out, his shocked, betrayed, anguish cry, that of the wind raging outside, and for a moment, Arthas saw him standing there. The blade burred in his chest almost as big as he was, and he felt one final tremor of remorse as he met with his own eyes. Then... The boy was gone. All that remained of him was the bitter keening of the wind scouring the tormented land. It felt marvelous. It was only with the boy's passing that Arthas truly realized how dreadful a burden this last struggling scrap of humanity had been. He felt light, powerful, purged, scoured clean, as Azeroth would soon be. All his weakness, his softness, everything that had ever made him hesitate or second-guess himself, it was all gone now. There was only Arthas. Frostmourne all but singing at having claimed the final piece of Arthas' soul and the orc, whose skull face was split with triumphant laughter. Yes, the orc exhilarated, laughing almost manically. I knew you would make this choice. For so long you've wrestled with the last dregs of goodness, of humanity in you, but no longer. The boy held you back. And now you are free. He now got to his feet. His body still that of an old orc, but moving with the ease and fluidity of the young. We are one, Arthas. Together, we are the Lich King. No more Ner'zhul, no more Arthas, only this one glorious being. With my knowledge, we can... His eyes bulged as the sword impaled him. Arthas stepped forward, plunging the glittering, hungering Frostmourne ever deeper into the dream being that had once been Ner'zhul, then the Lich King, and was soon to be nothing, nothing at all. He slipped his other arm around the body, pressing his lips so close to the green air that the gesture was almost intimate as the act of taking a life always was and always would be. No, Arthas whispered. No, we. No one tells me what to do. I've got everything I need from you. Now the power is mine and mine alone. Now there is only I. I am the Lich King and I am ready. The Lich King woke up, and he sent his armies out to let the world know that he's ready for them. But that's a story we'll save for next week, since we also still need to talk about some of the events that took place between placing the crown on his head and waking up again. Like I said, that will be for next week, so for now, thank you very much for watching, everyone. Subscribe if you like my videos, leave a like if you enjoyed this one, and until next time, guys. See ya!
My son. The day you were born, the very forests of Lordaeron whispered the name. Arthas.
Randomly target me. Popped my cooldowns, focused on the boss. Stopping this cast would be a huge DPS loss. This AoE spell should be LOS'd, but I was still casting and you probably could have guessed. There's a fire burning on the floor, stacking a dot on me that I chose to ignore. My friends around me are counting on me to still be standing. We almost had it all. Instead, I'm lying here after dying. Raid leaders crying. We could have had it all. For the tank to get it in place, I pulled aggro, now it's too damn late. Wiping again, cause I had a proc that couldn't wait. My friends around me are counting on me to still be standing. We almost had it all.
I've been a high elf, a banshee, and an undead high elf. But I've never been a night elf. I don't do bouncy.